Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Thursday. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964 if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. Morning after the Wednesday draws, most notably Florida Derby day on Saturday, and as anticipated, an eye-crossing day of racing on Saturday, and we're just continuing to swing from vine to vine, just take what we can get and appreciate it and enjoy it, and we'll start digging into these just deep and entertaining fields. The Florida Derby, well, once again, as we discussed around Fountain of Youth, there always just seems to be an extraneous horse or two that jumps into these races and I get it. I mean, it's a $750,000 grade one and all that, but given the configuration at Gulfstream, it has a tendency to compromise a couple of horses here and there outside, and particularly in this case, here's Ette Indienne once again drawing as far out as he could have drawn. So Florent Giroux probably with a little more difficult. How many weeks in a row? How many weeks can he do it? How many times could Florent Giroux hustle a horse to the front and get away with it? There's obviously a handful of horses that have some tactical speed, and that includes Independence Hall. Rosario, not necessarily somebody that Joel can establish position as well as anybody and then go from there, but he has more of a tendency to kind of find a slot and come with a rally, and that's certainly the way he rode him in his career debut going 7/8. And of course Jose Ortiz has been aboard. Jose still nursing the wrist, taking the opportunity under the circumstances to heal up completely. But Independence Hall will be, at least more forward than back anyway. The Curlin Colt, my first Grammy, coming off of a couple of maiden tries. This is a maiden who, at the last race, all right, mid-70s buyer, he's not is respectable enough, but why does this, does this horse have to be involved here? This is one of those, this is one of those circumstances where, there were so many options. So, 'Tis the Law draws the 7. So, he can pretty much, Manny Franco can pretty much survey things to his outside. Got to feel like he'll want to establish some forward position, let a couple of the speeds go, but not, be too far out of touch. So a harmless midfield draw for 'Tis the Law. Gouverneur Morris off the allowance win at Tampa from the 5. And your field quickly to run down, as seen on TV, Kelly Breen from the rail with Paco, coming out of the Fountain third. Chivalry, Ralph Nix, second in the Hutchison. Second in the Swale as well. He'll try stretching back out. He had first tried two turns as a two-year-old at Calder in the Florida Stallion Series. Disc jockey, Safi Joseph, coming out of the American Fabius, the President's Day Starter Stakes. Saros, a first-time three-year-old starter by commissioner for Eclipse. Gustavo Delgado, he's cross-entered on Friday as well, so we'll see. Governor Morris, the five. Ajaweed for Kieran. The Shadwell, Curlin Homebred. Tis the Law, the seven. My First Grammy, Hector Berrios. Independence Hall, the nine. Candy Tycoon, the 10 for Todd Pletcher and Mathis. Sassy But Smart, who's been a turf horse for the most part. Kendall Condi, an overdriven colt, last seen in the Palm Beach. And Ete Indien out in the 12 hole. There is an AE for Dale Rogue Element, Calumet, sitting on the outside. So there's your Florida Derby, and it caps a 14-race card that has just got, just nonstop action. 10 stakes out of the 14, including, I should mention, the return of a couple of well-known types. Newspaper or Record comes back. Makes her four-year-old debut in the Sand Springs. That goes as the ninth. How about the return of Vekoma? Vekoma, he of the famed wackadoo paddle action, making his four-year-old debut out of the Derby. Vekoma, he's actually been working very nicely, and we'll look forward tomorrow to talking to Mike Welch and getting some of the Clocker Report opinions, Palm Beach Downs and Dave Norton and everybody that has made the meet successful. If you've been using the report, you've had your share, that's for sure. I could go through tons of this, and we're going to obviously have to dive in later tonight, this afternoon and tonight, in advance of tomorrow's weekend preview. So should make for a very fun Saturday, and of course the TV coverage. In fact, I was talking to Andy earlier, and he was getting ready. He's got the part of the TV broadcast on Fox, and I have not seen any further news, but the expectation of TVG being picked up widely. So the Gulfstream card is going to be the focus for everybody on Saturday. The Cutler Bay, the Hal's Hope, the Grade 3, Sanibel Island, Sir Shackleton, Sand Springs, the Orchid, Gulfstream Oaks, Pan American, the Arthur Appleton, and the Florida Derby. There you go. Not just Florida Derby Day, the Santa Ana, the Grade 3 at Santa Anita on Saturday as well. And Oaklawn pays attention to the Arky Breds, the No Double Breeders' Stakes for the Arkansas Breds on Saturday. Speaking of Oaklawn, too, Hammer, home safe. He sent me a text last night, and he made it unbelievable. He made it 937 miles in 13 hours. 1018, he sent the text last night. and he got home safe. And he didn't waste any time either, averaging about 72 miles an hour to get home. Good job. Good job, Hammer. So Hammer safe for those that were following the trip. He gave a couple of updates on Twitter, too. The racing yesterday, after we talked to Chris Katulak out at Fawner, they had another nice card that they went through and looked like I haven't seen the final handle number from there. I know that Fawner Will Rogers did, I think, 1.8 million. And of course, yesterday, Tampa and Gulfstream keeping, you know, the attention too. And we went through those races, the late multis with Seth and with Gus. And they there were a couple of tricky little numbers that slipped into both sequences, as it happens, that made it worth playing. And I didn't see handle numbers. Let me see about Tampa, actually, because that I've got the charts right here. There was a crazy winner in the nightcap at Tampa that I saw, where Kurt Hoover, apparently on air, gave out the 46-1 shot that won the nightcap at Tampa. Inca Princess, $93 and change for Moise Inez. And this was a career maiden. And when I say career maiden, 0 for 41. And back to the turf where she had never, a five-year-old mare, 0 for 16 on turf, never even second. She was third once on turf, and actually had one of the better figs on turf in this 16,000 maiden group. But Kurt's an original thinker. He will dig and find. One of the most respected opinions, not just on the West Coast, really anywhere. Kurt Hoover does a great, great job. So I saw that on, it brought a big smile. And that put the spurs, obviously, to the multi-race numbers. 93-60 winner with Leslie Mowing aboard. And in that one race that we kind of focused on for a second, the allowance at Gulfstream, that eighth race, the tabulator, Larry Ravelli from Mrs. Wilson, the tabulator, who's a five-year-old now and was making a seasonal debut. And it's really, it's been a very solid, now 7 for 15. And you got 3-1, went off as the second choice. Victor LeBron took control early, and it was actually over in short order, to be honest. Yeah, so that was the kind of the feature that we were looking at from yesterday. Today, you're not going to be able to partake of Turfway. They have called off the last 3 days of the meet. If you did not see that overnight, and as we, you know, as we were indicating yesterday, things are just, you know, they're going to be day to day, and haven't heard, you know, officially. I can tell you that when it comes to Gulfstream, just the fact that they moved the mandatory payout for the Rainbow Six, the fact that they moved it to Saturday kind of indicates, I think, where things are headed there. I don't know if we're going beyond Saturday. So we'll watch for that. Reach out for Marty or Mike and see if there's official word about what's going on at Gulfstream. But with Turfway calling it quits, you're looking still at Oaklawn, Golden Gate, and Tampa. Golden Gate, Oaklawn, Tampa. Santa Anita, Golden Gate. You wouldn't think it would be this tough to, you know, to keep them in mind. So we'll see what happens how much more after this Gulfstream card, what else we get to. So Thursday, and just getting going here, we'll head to the break. Dick Powell is going to join us first. And we got Tony, of course, and Steve Haskin and Rich Eng and more. With Dick, I you know, Sunday morning, if you didn't watch the video of, if you didn't see it live at 4 a.m., the out of this world Hong Kong Derby. And, you know, there's a move in there. We'll talk about it. Blake Shin makes a move that, if he wins, it goes down in history of one of the great rides of all time. I mean, it's still, you know, he was on a 300-to-1 shot, and it was something. I put up a link to it, and it got a huge reaction. People loved it. Amazing. We'll talk about Hong Kong Derby and more with Dick. See what else he's got. Tony. There you go. Let's head right to the break case, and I'm assuming that's case. And we'll get going. Dick Powell joins us first at the races. Hope everybody's hanging in. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California and Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield, the leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really?
Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Back at the races, 20 minutes into hour one on Thursday, and if you didn't know better, you would feel like, okay, things are pretty normal. We're getting ready for Florida Derby, and let's operate in that mode. Dick Powell is going to join us, and I'm going to look back to Sunday morning and an unbelievable Hong Kong Derby that was really entertaining. And I suppose if you tabbed the runner up at 280-1, you may feel like it was a bad beat. Hopefully you backed it up with with one of those each ways or a swinger, but a wildly entertaining derby, I thought, Dick, and it got plenty of attention. And in fact, HKJC getting more and more attention, given how consistent now the signal is running worldwide. Good morning. No, Dick. All right. Well, we'll wait a second for Dick. For those of you that are reacting, by the way, to I found that. You see that video, the clip this morning? Got people, good way to start the day. If, you know, for those that are struggling and you know, feeling a little down, wonderfully sweet video of a young girl that just completed chemo treatments, and her entire neighborhood was lined up waiting. For her, and it's as sweet a scene as you're going to see, and people are really really appreciating it. And I'm trying to go back ahead because I want to find I want to send you the video from Sunday. If you haven't, for those that missed it, I just missed Hong Kong Derby live. I woke up and put it on, but it was too late, and so I watched it, you know, minutes later. But here's Dick now. Dick, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. I set the alarm for 4 o'clock. I wound up semi-waking up. Then when they started loading in the gate, I made sure I had both eyes open. And even then I thought, am I seeing this? Is this what's really going to pass everyone from last to first in a 14-horse field down the backside? It's like, wow. And it was true. I wasn't sleeping.
Well, Golden 60, you know, who certainly, you know, plenty of expectation, but the story, not to take away from the winner, but I'm sorry, that performance by Playa de Puente at what, 280-1, and Blake Shin's blitz. I don't think I've ever seen a last to first move like that in such a short span. It was unbelievable what he did here.
Well, he recognized Marrera had slowed the pace down. So when they come out of that first bend and they go for the long run down the backstretch, he realized that everyone was backing up. And he's at the back. He's in 14th place. And he just tips out. And I don't know if the horse just grabbed a bit and went or it was his urging. And this is a horse that we had talked about even last year, Steve, because he won one of the road to the Kentucky Derby races in Ireland. He won at Dundalk, right, on the synthetic track. And then he's been in Hong Kong. He's been okay. And I just couldn't use him from post 11. The long shot I went with drew post 5. And I'm thinking, well, I can't see Playa del Puente overcoming post 11 with this move up in class. He makes this humongous move and then actually opens up clearance. I mean, it wasn't just like he took the lead and like a harness race tucked in and then slowed it back down. He just kept going. And they turned for home. It's like, well, who's going to catch him? And I knew I knew more than this was just grinding. He wasn't going to get him. Reliable team, my long shot, was grinding. And then finally, Golden 60, who's wound up winning the Hong Kong Triple Crown. He's 9 out of 10 lifetime. And he gets up there and nails him at the wire. But it was just a spectacular race by Blake Shin. And the funny, odd story with Blake Shin. The first time I went to Melbourne, my first Melbourne Cup, and it was Bart Cumming's last Melbourne Cup. It was his 12th Melbourne Cup win. Well, in that race, Blake Shin takes the lead. He's like 21 years old. He takes the lead way too early. Like in Melbourne, they say you wait till you see the clock, and there's a clock tower, maybe an eighth of a mile to the finish, and you got to wait and wait and wait. Well, he opens up, and he's panic-stricken, and he winds up holding off, I think it was a Luca Kamani horse, at the wire. But, I mean, it was an aggressive ride. And it worked. This time was an aggressive ride, and even though it didn't work, because Golden 60 is a better horse, it was just visually, it was just, you just don't see that in thoroughbred racing. A horse go by everybody, and then open up and turning for home. It's like no one's going to catch him. And he did get caught, and the Quinella came back. I got to divide by 5 here, but $200-something. And I mean, all exotics were huge, even with the favorite winning and the second favorite running third.
I saw that as the morning was unfolding, because I was writing up the Louisiana Derby Day card, and I saw where Andrew Hawkins had actually suggested Playa as an alternative price, and that if somebody wanted to play around a little bit and. He said that he had an exacta saver, so he got a little something out of it. But, boy, I was really entertained. And then actually a couple days later, I follow Blake Shin on Twitter, and I saw where Blake had a couple of things that he tweeted out. I was really – that's the kind of riding that we as a horse player, if you found that horse, you're appreciative of Shin – trying to win and trying to take advantage. He did everything, and it took a tremendous effort by the favorite to reel him in.
And then what the nice story with the favorite was, it was all local trainer, local jockey, Chris Ho, was having a big year over there. And it was just nice to see all the local people come through. Golden 60, as I said, 9 out of 10. He's by Medaglia d'Oro. He's a 4-year-old gelding by Medaglia d'Oro that will now take on open company. There's no more 4-year-old races left this season, so he'll have to go to the big international races towards the end of April. And he has his pick of races. He was able to get a mile and a quarter, but part of it was the slow pace, and he has that burst. If he's cruising along, he can maybe an eighth of a mile, 3/16 of a mile burst that can reel horses in, and he really had to show it Sunday morning, because without that burst, he doesn't get up in time.
Now, it made for a pretty entertaining result. I just sent I found the replay for people that missed it on Sunday morning. You'll really enjoy it. It's really good. And Dick, you know, I kind of referenced a little bit that the consistency right now, given much of the rest of Australasia, the fact that, you know, Hong Kong is into a nice routine, and we should note that, you know, there's been a little bit of a flare-up again after Hong Kong looked like COVID had been kind of clamped down. They've had a little bit of a flare back up. But the signal's getting, it seems to me, more notice right now, and not surprisingly, with, you know, a highly abbreviated signal landscape.
Yeah, and one of the places you noticed it was in the Racing Post. They were doing much more coverage of the Hong Kong races as other tracks ceased operations. They've done a phenomenal job because they had all the bases covered. You know, we still have tracks that are closing, but then, like, for instance, what's today, the 26th? Well, if you have an uncashed ticket, you got till March 31st. Well, why can't New York State or someone just say, we're going to extend that to July 1st or something like that? You know, if you have an account, can you go deposit money? Can you go withdraw money? I mean, how easy is it? Now, if you've already set up your ACH transfer, that's great. But for newcomers that you're trying to get into the game and say, here's an opportunity, and you don't even have to go to the track or anything, well, all those logistics have to be in place. And I don't know anyone who has a window open that you could go to or anything else like that, where Hong Kong shut everything down, but they did maintain their operation in terms of deposits and withdrawals. You couldn't go to an OTB and make a bet, but they had the infrastructure still working as far as betting goes, funding and withdrawals. And so they've been doing this for a while. They've been pretty successful. And yesterday, 8-race card at Happy Valley did $1.15 billion Hong Kong dollars, which is real pretty close to what they would normally do, down maybe 20%. So the fact that they've been able to maintain as much as their business has been really good. International commingling still has problems no matter how many times these empty suits get together and talk about it. you can't believe the details that are not being done and could easily be solved and just aren't. So they have that challenge. They have the time zone challenge, at least with half the country. You know, yesterday morning was nice because with the clocks now changed, it didn't start till like 7:15 and ran till like 10:30 or so. So that was nice having Hong Kong Wednesday morning. And if you live in the West Coast, Saturday night's not that bad.
No.
So, you know, they're doing well. They're putting out the same product, 14-horse fields at Sha Tin, 12-horse fields at Happy Valley, standard, win percentage of favorites at Sha Tin, it's about 31, and Happy Valley, it's about 25, and it just maintains a remarkable consistency, and obviously with big fields, you're getting big prices, and that continues to go forward. So I think they're the model to follow, that if you're going to race, you're going to make sure you just have necessary staff. And any other thing that, you know, we've seen in Hong Kong and more so in China for years is people wear masks. And we still haven't gotten into that. And that's a critical function. And for years, I mean, mainland China, a lot of pollution, so they're wearing masks. But Hong Kong, since this thing started, I mean, every single person, with the exception of the jockeys, have masks on. And so they're they got the gloves, they got the mask, the people that are there to help operate the race card, they're as protected as they can be.
Well, there may be a point sooner than later, Dick, that that it's the only racing really anywhere. You know, I mentioned yesterday that Ireland that had started their flat season on Monday, they had to cease, and you know, we called off the last few days of Turfway and so forth, and you know, getting the sense that Gulfstream may not be able to go past Saturday, so it feels like, you know, a very steady narrowing of options, but HK has gone through it already, and they've got plenty. There's plenty left. We still have got several months of racing, so it's a life raft.
Some other big days coming up that'll whet the appetite. Unfortunately, getting international shippers, especially from Japan, that might be problematic. But based on the local horses and all that, what they're able to put together from top to bottom is always great betting cards and great betting action and huge pools. And I check my current odds before I either make the bet or before I fall asleep, or Sunday I was head of the game, getting up at 4 and putting the races on and stuff like that. Yesterday was great watching them, and I wound up having a halfway decent day. And my man Zach Purton catches Joe, now has the lead in the Ryder Premiership, as they like to call it. He has 91, Joe has 90. So Zach's been on a roll. He had 2-3 yesterday. He seems to have 3 every day. He's had 21 the past 30 days. And he's caught Joe, and actually he's opened up a slight lead. So that'll be fun to watch for the rest of the year, the Trainer Tide. Trainer Premiership is very close with Ricky Yu and Francis Loy. And those things are fun. And they make a big deal over it over there. I mean, they have betting on it. They have all sorts of things with the jockeys and trainers and stuff. So it's competitive. Believe me, these guys know if I didn't win, they're looking up, well, who won the race? So it was so-and-so, or it wasn't so-and-so, so that's good, and stuff like that. So,
what are we looking at for this weekend?
Well, we're back to Sha-Tin, and we're going to be at Sha-Tin for 3 straight race cards. So we're at Sha-Tin Sunday. We're at Sha-Tin on Wednesday night, and that'll be an all-weather meet. And then we're back to Sha-Tin on April 5th, which will be the Chairman's Trophy, a Group 2 going 1,600 meters or a metric mile, and the Sprint Cup, a Group 2 going 1,200 meters. So we got 3 straight at Sha-Tin, and let's see, this Saturday, try to get you a couple winners. Going to go to race number 1, and number 4, Liverbird Star. This is Paul O'Sullivan and Chad Schofield. He's been racing Class 5 consistently, and has been doing okay in it. The nice thing is he hasn't done well enough to move out of Class 5, so he's still able to run against these bottom-level horses. He's consistent. He draws well. There's a couple higher rated than him, but then they have to pick up a couple more pounds than he does. And I just think going 1,400 meters from post 5, we can get a good trip. He does have good tackle speed with the big field. I think that'll come in handy. And I think Liverbird Star, number 4, can get us going in the opener. We'll go on to race 7. No big stake race coming up. Race 7 is a Class 3, and I like number 7, Grateful Heart. raced overseas, came to Hong Kong, made its Hong Kong debut on February 23rd, had the lead, weakened late. And what you see a lot in Hong Kong are blanket finishes. So you'll see, like, he was eighth, beaten 2 3/4. Now, that's fairly typical. So a blanket finish is not always the sign of what might have been a poor race. It's usually just a sign of 14 horses, and they finish pretty close, especially in the handicap conditions. So Zach Perrin's going to ride this one for Danny Shum, and they've had a good season together, and I just think from post four, he can get out. Hopefully he can hang on. If you want to play him with someone, number five, Mig Energy from Tony Cruz and Chris So. Similar pattern, made its Hong Kong debut last night, last out, ran well, and now with the race under its belt, should improve. And then finally, I've been looking for this angle, because when I do my spreadsheet work, you keep coming up with these horses that Joe Marrero wins, and they're lightly weighted. And Joe can ride, well, as he's going to do in race nine, 115 pounds. Zach had trouble making 117 pounds when he rode at Thero. I think Zach pretty much rides at 120. So Joe has this big advantage getting lightweight horses. And I found one in race nine, number 13, and Zumble. Doug White's a trainer. Joe is the rider. Beaten the neck two starts back. That was against class three, same as this. And he just looks like he fits these conditions very well. Post eight, right in the middle. But it's one of these things that sticks out to me when I'm doing the work is that Joe wins a lot of races where he's riding light, and light usually means they're not highly rated type horses, and yet he's getting them across the line. So we'll see if that can work in race number nine with number 13, Enzemble.
Excellent. Excellent. Dick, before we wrap, I should also bring up, we had speculated on World Cup, and boy, I there have to be, I mean, nobody's gonna squawk loudly, but there had to be some people that were a little miffed as to how this was handled in terms of, you know, canceling when the World Cup, when there was every expectation that it was going to be impossible to execute.
Well, my guess, and this is without any information, they were sending out that morning, the media department was sending out pictures of the horses that had trained that day and stuff like that, and then 2 hours later, the thing's called off. My guess that the decision clearly did not come from the Dubai Racing Club. It came high up in government, and when you understand Dubai's an emirate, and it's part of the UAE, and
right.
Kind of the head of the UAE is Abu Dhabi. And my guess is something happened, there was some spike or something with the COVID-19 or something like that, and then they just pulled the plug immediately. And, yeah, if you shipped over there, you got to get your horse back and you got to get your people back. And the people is problematic because when they come back, they might have to go into 14-day quarantine and stuff like that. So, yeah, that was very unfortunate. And, I mean, they were going to run it without people. They were going to, you know, run it Hong Kong
right.
style with races and no spectators. And then all of a sudden, boom. So just the timing of such and the fact that clearly the racing club didn't have any knowledge because they were sending out all these press releases and everything else like they normally do the week of the race, I think that took everyone back. So that was really, really a shame. Get people willing to ship 13 hours and go through all the logistical challenges, and then, boom.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the humans came back. Horses are en route. And we talked to Louis Carvajal, and, everybody will, fight on and refocus, but it was unfortunate. Dick, everybody's good, family, all the everybody safe and secure.
My wife's still in Florida.
Still in Florida, huh?
she probably won't come home till mid-April because there's no rush to really get up here. The grandkids are, the one's been down here, but the granddaughter had a little bit of a cold, and Shana didn't want her near me. So they're like all isolating me. I'm fine. Like, we don't want to get Poppy sick. Like, hey, Poppy's a little bored right now. It's me and the dog.
Let me also, well, and on that topic, you say bored, but you've got plenty to occupy yourself. But what's your recommendation? I've been asking everybody all week for people that are kind of finding the game with, you know, with the so little to bet on, and we're understanding that a lot of the ADWs are getting an influx of new signups. What's your recommendation for people? How should they wade into learning the game?
Why, just keep it simple. Don't try to do things you don't understand. It'd be like you went to Vegas. You know, just bet win. Don't bet 5-team parlays and fake teases and everything else. That's not what people want to hear. People want jackpots and stuff like that. But it's a tough game for newcomers to get into, and especially when it gets awfully complicated. Things like that. Luckily, the newcomer has all this TV on that they can sit there and watch and enjoy and get educated. And I noticed that everyone's kind of scaling back their conversations to include newcomers. It's not, you know, it's not TV just from insider standpoint. So that's good. But I would just keep it as simple as you can. Watch the race and chill like hell.
How about reading? What written work, Dick? Have you always admired?
Steve, this is the weirdness of Dick Powell. I don't think I've ever read a handicapping book.
How about that?
I read, like, I'm on the Thoroughgraph board, and I love reading Jerry's stuff and how people analyze races and things like that, but I just have this, I'm more self-taught, and the racing form used to have this thing. I mean, Hong Kong has it, where they explain every detail of what's on the page and stuff.
Sure,
and
of course.
That's what I would gravitate to and figure out what this is, what does it mean, when is it different, how big a difference, and it's just odd with me. No knock on anybody because I don't read it.
No. Everybody has their own evolution and their own development curve. And you know, that's not – Seth actually wasn't too dissimilar. Seth talked about, you know, kind of just learning as he went as well. I was different. I mean, I started going, and I thought it was interesting. And, you know, I went right to the book learning and – you know, all the predictable, you know, Beyer and Davidowitz and Ainsley and you know, tried to get a base of knowledge. And I got as far. The thing that tripped me up, and you know, I kept trying to add layers, but regression analysis threw me. I tried to, you know, Quirin and that was beyond me. I mean, it, some of the physics elements that the real math minds covet. And I, Brohammer, I mean, I read Brohammer. I think I've read it twice. And I just absolutely was cross-eyed. It just didn't. You know, so I at a certain point, I just had to be happy with what I knew. And so, you know, yes, there's probably a lot more out there for some people. Depends on everybody's mind and how it works. And that's what's so entertaining about the sport and about the horseplay, because it there's no right answer and there's no one approach. And, you know, there's so many different ways to win and to be successful.
Well, I ordered two books on Amazon, and I started one. It's Rotstein by David Patricia, and a lot of Saratoga. when you go back to Arnold Rothstein and
sure.
His connections with racing are unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard the author interviewed one night on John Batchelor's show. He was on for like an hour, and it was really fascinating because the guy's a good storyteller. And just the connections and the things that happened in this town, at that racetrack, in big races and stuff. Him and August Belmont buddies, and he used to shoot pool in mid-Manhattan at a pool room. Now, pool rooms were different than what you think. They had pool tables, but they also were like horse rooms and stuff. And it was owned by John McGraw, the little Napoleon, manager of the New York Giants. And it's just these intersections of people, especially, you know, heading into the Roaring Twenties and gambling and society doing well and wealth and everything else. And here's Rothstein with his finger in every pie that he can find that he can steal and make money. So it's that's the kind of stuff I enjoy reading.
Nice. And there's quite a few books about Arnold Rothstein. Which one is it that you got?
I started David Patricia, Rothstein,
David Patricia.
Life and Times, and Murder of the Criminal Genius, and then the Big Bankroll, The Life and Times of Arnold Rothstein by Leo Katcher. So
nice. Yeah. Good recommendations, and you know, you mentioned. I'll mention my John McGraw. Whenever McGraw gets mentioned, for anybody that happens to be driving through New York, if you're in the toward the Finger Lakes and you know, toward Cortland, you know, anywhere from like Hamilton, you know, heading toward Auburn, there's a tiny, tiny town, and I mean tiny, called Truxton. T-R-U-X-T-O-N. And you drive through Truxton, and in the middle of the town, there's like a little semi-traffic circle, and there's a little monument, and it's a small statue of McGraw. He was from Truxton. And it's the coolest thing. I remember, you know, I think we go through, when we used to go to Cornell, for football or hockey, we would drive through Truxton. It's either just before or just after Cortland. I think somewhere I got a picture of the monument. It fascinates me. I mean, that it's like one of those, you know, it's like the world's largest ball of string. I that kind of stuff I'm just a sucker for, you know. You know, the giant you know, Babe the Blue Ox and that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's the roadside, another roadside attraction, as they say. So there you go, folks. If you're doing a baseball, if you're heading to Cooperstown, maybe you can swing through Truxton, one direction or the other.
I've never swung through there because I lived in Binghamton, and I used to go to Finger Lakes all the time, and I would take different roads, and then I used to drive from Binghamton up to Vernon Downs and take different roads and stuff, and I don't think I ever went through Truxton.
Well, I didn't. When did you live in Binghamton?
74 to 84.
How about that?
Yeah. Got my master's degree and half of a PhD.
You went to Binghamton, the university?
For graduate school. Yeah,
yeah, how about that? One of my, you and Tony Kornheiser, right? The Continentals. And I hate that. That's one of, they had one of the great names in sports nicknames, the Continentals, and they had to change it to something more, they thought, more catchy, the Bearcats. It's just ridiculous.
When I've heard Kornheiser talk about it, they talk about Harper College.
Right, right.
And then I guess when it became a university with graduate school and everything else, Harper College was the undergraduate, and I went to I was in a, I was in a PhD program.
I love it.
Yeah. And I wound up staying, lived there, and met my wife. We got married, and well, where do we want to live? How about Saratoga?
Good move. There you go. Yeah. So that, that's, where'd you grow up?
Staten Island.
Huh.
Which is just the, when you talk to anyone from Staten Island, like Harry Rice,
yeah,
the valet, and different people, it's just, it's indescribable what it's like, because no one goes, they go there if they're lost, or they have to go there, and but it has a gambling culture second to none. I would put Staten Island up against Pittsburgh, Youngstown, Ohio, all the places that have the big reps. And then, you know, then we had people that were in charge of the gambling living there. And it was just so, it was kind of, you know, Bronx Tales and Goodfellas and all that stuff.
I love it. I love it. Well,
but it was great. What helped me was I got street smarts. And I got some book smarts. And it's all added up to sitting here by myself. Can't go outside.
Pretty crazy. Well, stay safe, and we'll look forward to this weekend at Chatin. And, in fact, a lot of opportunity when they do the all-weather. There's always some good chances for that all-weather card. Look forward to that, because they
–
everybody overbets Marrero on the all-weather.
Yep.
And look elsewhere. Dick, be well,
okay.
And I appreciate this.
Thanks, Steve.
Dick Powell, everybody, a lot of fun. Let's take a break. We've got visits coming with Steve Margolis, who we've been trying to chase down for really the whole meet. I honest to God, I've been trying to reach Margolis since early in fairgrounds. I want to get the report from him as to where things stand and what he's going to do, and how, you know, the horsemen that are a little marooned. So not Margolis. We'll start with Bill Gallo, actually, and come back to try to scare up Margo. But Bill Gallo is going to join us. And I wanted to get the report yesterday. I mentioned about the steeplechase season and how they're adjusting and what the plans are. So I wanted to give the chase community an update. Back after this.
The latest racing news.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
March 28th is Florida Derby Day, and you can compete online for a share of $30,000 in prizes. That's right, it's Express Bet Showdown time. Submit a $200 entry fee to join 60 pre-qualified Express Bet players in competition for a $10,000 first prize. Then make a live $20 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races from Gulfstream and Santa Anita. The top five players will win from $2 to $10,000. Sweep the card to earn an additional $5,000 bonus. Showdown is available to account holders only with a maximum of 2 entries per player. Showdown has no rake, skim, or takeout. And since competition wagers are live, players keep what they win. Visit ExpressBet.com today to register for complete details, to open an account, and to get up to a $100 bonus. Cash big online with ExpressBet Showdown, March 28th.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.